depending upon the help of God. I would direct your minds this evening to the 8th chapter of Romans. The Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. The 28th verse of the 8th chapter of Romans. This may seem perhaps an unusual word to speak from on this occasion, as we, and often our minds, are upon the Lord Jesus Christ and Calvary's cross. And as I've read this evening the words of the Apostle, and I believe, I trust I can go somewhat with him in some small measure, I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. But these words, as they rest upon my mind, that as I've announced in our text, there's two words in our text that seems to stand out this evening. And one is called, and the second is purpose. Called. This dear man, the apostle, writing to the Hebrews of old, he says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling." Heavenly. And as we look upon this word this evening, my mind goes in this direction. An heavenly calling. That is, in the first place, there was an heavenly calling from God the Father unto his heavenly Son, the Lord Jesus. And what a call that was. An heavenly Father to an heavenly Son. A call to redeem a people. So that was the real substance of it. The Father had appointed from all eternity that this one, which should be called his Son, an heavenly Son, he do not hesitate to say it, and an heavenly Father, but he gave him an heavenly call. Not in a way that we receive an heavenly call. Though I trust we have, many of us, received an heavenly call. But Jesus had an heavenly call to perform a work that no other man could possibly undertake. And the Father knew it. And therefore, he called him his dear beloved Son. We do not hesitate to say it, because we have it in the Scriptures again and again. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So he gave him an heavenly call, and that call was to come to this earth in likeness of man, yet not the nature of man, but the nature of God, holy, pure, undefiled in every way. Truly we can say of the Lord Jesus that he was an heavenly man, a heavenly and beloved Son. But the Father gave him a call, And this was known, I believe, unto his dear beloved son. Could he resist the call? Could he have turned in some other direction? No. It was a heavenly call, and a heavenly son obeyed his father, and his father was this, to send him. Send him to this earth. In that most mysterious birth, overshadowed by the Holy Ghost, and to come for the salvation of sinners. Therefore he received an heavenly call, and he obeyed. There was a willingness to come. What caused the willingness? Because of love. The love that was in his heart, yea, the love in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that love was settled from all eternity upon a race of people, a great multitude that no man could number, that Jesus was to come. They need redeeming. Who could redeem them? None other than Christ. Therefore he received this heavenly call to come to earth. And that work laid before him. And cannot we say, friends, it was an heavenly work to do. Heavenly. For all his works was of a heavenly and a righteous way, form, and it was performed thus. Heavenly. He came in his love to that place where the Father had appointed him. And it wasn't a high place. It was a low place. And as we read this morning in that wonderful chapter in Isaiah, as I've heard it said, the chapter of chapters, where we read of the Lord Jesus Christ, and did he not commence in that very, very low place, out of a dry ground? Yea, did he not come, as it were, and laid in that manger, in a very, very low place, no mansion, but in a stable? But that was the effect of the heavenly calling. That's where he commenced. And he finished his journey, I'd speak with all reverence, in his glory, in the height of glory. But he commenced in a very low place. Yes, an heavenly calling, to undertake a work that was of a heavenly nature and for an heavenly purpose. I think we can say so, because this people whom he was about to redeem, who he has redeemed, was being prepared for an heavenly home. Called heavenly. And that wonderful word of salvation. I desire, as I may be helped for a little while, to speak of that calling which he undertook. Would not turn in any other direction. I said at times, and I speak with reverence, he was king, he could have turned. But no, this was the path. And this was ordained by the Father, that Christ should walk in those paths, heavenly paths, that would lead him eventually to heaven itself, heavenly calling. Now this call was to bring forth, yea, to find sinners. Oh, that the Father had known from all eternity. All that was in the covenant of grace, every one whose name was written in heaven, a holy calling to come. and to undertake, as I said, a work, and the work of salvation. Calvary, solemn place, blessed place, a place of suffering in his own body, spirit, in his own soul. His suffering was for this purpose, to find a people and deliver them from the lowest hell and eventually bring them to heaven. This holy calling, that place where he stood, and those many, many viewed him when he was about to take and to give his life for the ransom of many. Oh, what a calling, dear friends, heavenly calling. And he did not flinch. He did not turn in any other direction. Though Calvary was before him, his persecutors, the soldiers who persecuted him, and what he passed through, we cannot begin to enter into. But all through this heavenly calling, a call from his Father to undertake a work, as I said, that none other could do. All others are sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but his Son was holy, pure, undefiled in every way. Thus he received an heavenly calling to redeem his people. And cannot we say, dear friends, that blood did he shed, and the fountain he opened was of an heavenly nature? Couldn't have been anything else. For his body was not defiled. His blood was not defiled. Pure and holy in every way. Therefore, he shed that holy blood, that heavenly blood, for the ransom of many. Not all the blood on Jewish water stain could give the guilty conscience ease or wash away one stain. But as you've heard me quote before, and you've sung it many times, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and all who's plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. An heavenly calling, an heavenly work, heavenly shedding of blood, and heavenly to bring forth an heavenly joy. To bring forth a great number of poor sinners, defiled throughout by sin, who would spend eternity in hell, and have the punishment of God forever and ever, yet this heavenly calling, from the Father to his Son, and his Son made that open way from the depth of the fall. I've said it times, from Egypt to Canaan, from the depth of the fall to the height of eternal bliss. Let us praise him as we should, and exalt him. He is worthy of it. We shall appreciate it. I believe some of us do. And we shall, as the Lord is pleased to answer our prayers, as we heard a little this afternoon, that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. How that prayer is answered at times in the opposite way than what we pray it. We have prayed it at times and thought, well, now we are going to grow in grace if the prayer is answered. And we shall have some better days before us. But it's just been the opposite. Just the opposite. The Lord leads us deeper and deeper in our own condition, our own old nature, reveals our sins, shows us what's in our heart by nature. And, dear friends, the deeper this work goes on within, and the more the Holy Spirit reveals it to us, our souls, those broken, as Gersk say, bones within. But caused by sin, the more we realize it, the more we shall be thankful and praise this wonderful God who received an holy calling, and in his love, can I say to us, willing to walk that path of trouble and of trial and of agony of body. What he endured, no tongue can tell, to save our souls from death and from hell. Well, this heavenly calling. And now a few thoughts respecting the purpose of it. And the purpose is this, that God the Father should have all whom he had chosen. What a mystery. Chosen before the foundation was laid of this earth, before creation, before the Lord Jesus came into this lower world, before he was born at Bethlehem. Yes, for this purpose, loved, and he would have this great number to be with him in glory. That's the purpose of it. Nothing of self, nothing of a creature, nothing that we deserve. Do we really realize when we often close our prayers with those words, for Christ's sake? Oh, there's a great depth there, dear friends. For Christ's sake, not for ours, nothing we've done. No, it's entirely for Christ's sake. For all the work that he has performed in receiving the heavenly calling and to perform that which the Father had laid down for him in that wonderful purpose of saving poor sinners and some of the vilest. Is there this question in your heart? Am I one? Is there a concern? Is there a prayer out of your heart from time to time, Lord, am I one? Have I been chosen? Am I in Christ? Has he redeemed me on the cross? Did he come for me? Did he die for me? Did he open the fountain for my poor soul to be washed and cleansed? Is there a concern, dear friend? If so, where does it cause you? In what direction to go? Why, you say, to the throne of grace. Sometimes know not how to open their lips at the throne of grace because their sins are so great. Can you follow the publican? If you can follow him in his prayer, if that short prayer can come forth out of your heart, dear friend, I believe I have every reason to believe there's something working in your heart. That God the Father sent his dear Son with that heavenly calling on your behalf and to bring you eventually to himself. Oh, this heavenly calling for a purpose. And the purpose, as I've said, that this great throng should praise him throughout a never-ending eternity. And some of us are bordering upon it. I believe there's times when we've had a little of that love felt within our hearts. And what's been the response? Oh, to be there. And the poet has said, what must it be to be there? Oh, that heavenly calling. Is there something in your heart, dear friends, this evening, at least some of you long to see him? Long to be with him. But you say, oh, my sins are great. Yes, and they are great. What about his mercy? Oh, let us look at the other side of the thing. Our sins are great. I've often thought of those words in the 40th of Isaiah. I tried to speak from them a few times. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and say unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her sins are forgiven. Sins forgiven. These dear people were troubled about the sin. Sins in every way shape and form. Yes, but there is mercy. I believe every servant of God is sent by the Lord and anointed to preach both sides. You know, there's the malady, but there's the remedy. The Lord's people are brought to know the malady, and some of them long to know the remedy. Well, the remedy is in the blood of Christ. Yes. The mounting of our sins. Yes. Just like a mounting sometimes. I believe I've experienced it. When I've been very low, God seems to hide his face. Seems at times I'm ready to perish because of my sins, and they seem as a mounting. But friends, oh, look on the other side. Oh, forgive us, may the Lord give us a little faith to view the ocean that is full of his mercy. Take that mounting of thy sins and cast them into the ocean of his love. They'll be lost. Lost in a moment. Yes. Oh, this heavenly calling to this heavenly beloved Son of his to redeem our souls. Oh, to have a little faith and journey to Calvary and see him there, bowing his head, saying, it is finished, yea, giving up the ghost. Oh, friends, this will touch the heart. This will melt us. I believe it will, in his love, and to a good hope through grace, that we are numbered among them for whom he died, those he ransomed on the cross at Calvary. So our text says, those called, and the purpose is to bring them safely through the wilderness, through the pilgrimage, through the place he has appointed, that haven of rest. And you will remember the words that Christ spoke unto those disciples, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, O sweet, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The purposes of God are ripening fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Called for the purposes of God. Just a thought here, and how sad. No calling, dear friends, no heavenly calling. If Christ came not for us, what is our lot through eternity? Well, it'll be this, to call to stand before the judge. Call to hear the solemn word, depart, I know thee not. But I trust each in this little sanctuary this evening, we'll hear that sweet call when we come to that place and stand before the judge. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for thee. Here's the call and purpose. Now just for a little while, there's a spiritual, heavenly calling for every sinner in the covenant of divine grace. And I don't mind how young or how old, God is a sovereign. He can take a babe. He can drop a spark of divine grace in the heart of such. He can call a poor sinner who has perhaps despised him and persecuted and blasphemed his name for many, many years. God is a sovereign. But there's no room, no way through the gates of eternal glory unless we've received this heavenly call. I'll just go to this one who was enabled by the help of the Spirit to pen our text. As you know, Saul, he lived in the spirit of the Pharisee for doubtless many years, but he eventually had a call, and that was a heavenly. Heavenly call. When did he receive it? I believe on the way to Damascus. There was a voice from heaven. And if it came from heaven, there was a heavenly call, was it not? It was a call from his God. His God had been watching him whilst he was living in that spirit of the Pharisee. God's appointed time. There is an appointed time to be called by grace. Appointed time to receive the heavenly calling. And he received it. So, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the bricks. Dear friends, have we had, not actually in the way as the apostle or Saul. Oh no. But as have we received an heavenly call. It may be just like Lydia, her heart was opened. I don't think we read much about her, not the law work and so on, but her heart was opened. And if we receive this heavenly calling, I'm sure our hearts will be opened and there'll be a desire in their heart to listen to God's word. And we shall know something as the dear girl did. Give me a Bible in my hand, a heart to read and understand the sure unerring word. I'll urge no company to stay, but sit alone day by day and converse with my God. Oh, this heavenly calling. Have you received it? Have I? I have to put the question sometimes into my heart. Have I received it? We had our dear friend this afternoon saying and preaching to us, and how easily we might be deceived. Oh, how easily we might think we have a religion that'll take us to heaven and prove at last it's not so. Oh, how we need to search and pray, even as the psalmist. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. Have you received an heavenly calling? If you have, you'll come here, you'll know you're a sinner, and you'll feel you're a sinner, and you'll know you've broken the law, and you'll know God is holy, and you know this, in and of yourself you cannot please him. And in and of yourself there's no way unto him. It's all in Christ Jesus. Yes. Heavenly calling. Have I a poor troubled soul here this evening? Troubled, yes. Severely troubled. Much in the dark. You say, well, I can't get that light that I would like to. What about poor Job? He was a man of God. The Lord has written, as it were, in his word, that he is that he was a just man and so on. Good and upright man. But he came to this experience. Oh, that I knew where I might find it. That where you are tonight. You see your sins. You long for mercy. The time of love will come when thou shalt clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but thou shalt say, for me, called. And if so, dear friends, if you and I have had that heavenly calling, it's according to his purpose. And his purpose is this, to save us from the wrath to come. And why? In anything of self? No. Out of his love. Love. Oh, blessed love. From the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Just a few thoughts now, as we might come more to the commencement of our text, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Just a thought here, love. Oh, you say, I do lack that. So do I. So do I. Oh, if I knew more of that love. You know, I wish I could love him more and on all his ways esteem. Where does that come from? The desire. Oh, you say, I believe that comes from the bottom of my heart. If it does, dear friends, who's implanted it in your heart? That love is after him. Love him. Why do you not come to the house of God in times? I love to meet among them now, and at his gracious feet to bow, feeling me vileless of them all, but also saying, there's a little love to be found in the house of God. And you come because you love him. You love his name. You love to hear his gospel. You love to hear the way of deliverance from sin into the sweetness of pardon and forgiveness. You come. And something moves in your poor heart, which is love to him. I've often thought of Peter, you know, poor Peter. At a time when he denied his God. Has there been a time in your life and mine, most decidedly in mine, I have denied him at times? Feared at times I should be completely cast off and that for eternity. Did Christ cast off Peter? Poor Peter was left. No stones to throw at him. He got the old nature in him. So have you, so have I. Jesus tested his love. On one occasion he says, Peter, Peter, lovest thou me? What would your answer be tonight, dear friends, if Jesus came and said to you, lovest thou me? I don't think we could have a better reply than Peter had. Lord, he says, thou knowest. And eventually he says, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Are you in the text? Are you amongst this people? All things work together for good to them that love God. A little love, my friends, to him. By his grace will take you to heaven. And then entering into the fullness of the love. Though we cannot compare ours to his. Oh, Christ came in love, as I've said. He died in love. He shed his blood in love. He walked this earth in love, in his pilgrimage. He's returned to heaven in love. And now he's on the throne, on the right hand as his Father in love. What for? For the fulfillment of the first part of our text. And we know that all things work together for good. I've looked at this sometimes and thought, how wonderful. Yet such a man as the apostle should be able to write such a word and be assured that all things work together for him, for God. That dear man, you know, had something to pass through. He never had a smooth path. No wonder he's penned through much tribulation, ye must enter the kingdom. And then be able to look back, as it were, and say that all these things, when I was persecuted, when I was so spitefully used, those rods, those times, those strikes and so on, all for good. They must have been sanctified. In those days, in the imprisonment, when my feet was in the stocks and so on, working all together for good, oh friends, hey, this manifests grace in that dear man's heart. Grace. The same as Job, if I might return there for a moment. See what he passed through. We have a record of it in the first chapter of Job. What was his closing words? The Lord gave. The Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Could Job say, and I know that all these things have worked together for good for my soul. It's sanctifying grace, dear friends. Now, some of you may be walking in paths very difficult. You may have affliction. You may see affliction before you. May you be able to say with these words, and I know that all things work together for good. Can you believe it? Have I quoted this evening a line or so of the hymn, His purposes are ripening fast. Couldn't see them an hour or two ago, but now His purposes are ripening fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, it often has, but when sanctified, then comes forth the flower. Yes, the bud and the blossom, and then we see the beauty of God's work unto us, maybe in providence, maybe in grace, but we know that all things, He doesn't hesitate in this. He doesn't say some things will work for good. He says all things. Did not one of old say, all these things are against me? But he eventually proved these words working for His good. We know that all things work together. Dovetail together. And dear friends, that's the way the Lord works with His chosen loved people. That things are working together for good. Can't always see it, far from it. Just the opposite. We see to be brought lower and lower, and feel at times, and fear at times, well, all things are against us. And yet, you see, the secret of it is this. God can see the beginning, He can see the end. We can see the beginning when we are brought into it, but we can't see the end of it. If we could, perhaps we should be able to say with the words of our text, and I know, or we know, that all things are working together for good. Oh, if we have the sweet view by faith of the old work of salvation from the commencement to the end, that is heaven, I'm sure we should be able to say that all these things I'll work together for God. My dear late mother on her deathbed said, I would not have anything of altered, nothing altered. I believe she knew a little of this, that all things had worked together for God. But she had a path of tribulation, far from an easy path. Don't know that I ought to say it, but when, as a child, a boy, I used to lay in bed of a night time and hear her praying downstairs. She never had an easy path. Path of tribulation. That, on her deathbed, all these things had worked together for good. And we know that all things, when she'll be able to say it, dear friends. Why, I believe there's a hymn, I turned it down, oh, for a heart prepared to sing, to go with my Saviour and my King, while with his saints I joined to tell, I, Jesus, as done, all things well, all worlds his glorious power confess, his wisdom all his works express, but oh, his love, what tongue can tell, my Jesus has done all things.